started. Actually, verse number 18, Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 1 through 18. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So think, if I have my calculation correct, this is about 90 feet tall, this statue. And let's move on. Verse number 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever, and thou, O king, hast made a decree, and every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, if not regarded thee, they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye should be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they weren't anxious about this. They were pretty calm in their answer. They said this, If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. That if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray. Lord, bless the preaching tonight. Help me as I bring this message. Please again, Lord, I ask that you'd use me as your instrument and your vessel to accomplish your purpose for us being here this evening. We pray that in a very real and powerful way tonight you'd speak to our hearts. we'd see these truths and make application to our lives. See what you have for us here in your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to draw your attention again to verse 17, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Well, I'm sure everyone in this room, even the children, have all heard the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the burning fiery furnace. It's one of the great accounts in the Bible. And verse 17 reminds us that there's a four-letter word there, the word able, that we have a God that is able. Whenever I read this portion of Scripture, I always think of that. I think of Ephesians 3:20, which is on your handout, where Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, and he said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That's a great verse as well. Amen. You believe tonight that we have a God that is able. Amen. A God that is able and to do beyond what we can think. In fact, I was doing some reading and I wrote this quote on your handout from a Bible commentator with regards to verse 17. He said this. He said, "God is able to do more for us than we can ask or think. And His ability here," meaning in this particular scripture, this particular event, "His ability here is so necessarily connected with His willingness." In other words, what He's saying is, not only do we need to understand that we have a God that is able, but we need to understand that God desires to show us and allow us to experience the fact that He is a God that is able. We've talked somewhat these last several weeks about a comment that sometimes we hear a phrase that God will never give us more than we can handle, which we've discussed is really not a true statement because the only way that we can see that God is able is for God to give us more than we can handle. Amen? I mean, that's what that's all about. But these three young Hebrew men, they're going to find out some things about a God that is able. But I love their philosophy in verse 18. And I'll say more about that in just a few minutes. But it's amazing. Life in itself just brings a lot of challenges our way. Wouldn't you say amen? A lot of difficulties can come our way. A lot of things we have to deal with. And sometimes they, just like these three Hebrew boys, that seems insurmountable. I mean, they're facing a fiery furnace. And sometimes when things like this come our way, we just don't know how we're going to cope, how we're going to deal with it. Some of you look like you're so tired tonight, you're not sure how you're going to cope getting through this message tonight. It's a long day, hasn't it been? And sometimes we're not sure how we're just going to conquer and deal with some things. And sometimes life brings things along that we're not even sure that we can comprehend what God is doing. And for you, it may feel like the fiery furnace. And just like these three Hebrews, you know that the decisions that you make will determine whether or not you're going to bow down to the image of this world or you're going to bow down to the will of God. Decisions come across that way. Remember what Paul said at the end of his life? He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith." Paul was one who was not going to bow down to the philosophy of this world and the things of this world. He was going to keep Jesus first and foremost in his mind, in his heart, in his life. Isaiah 43:2. I'm not sure if I put this on your handout or not, but Isaiah 43:2 says, "But when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." What a wonderful verse that is. God's protective hand. But you know, as I read through this, there's more to the scriptures here than just the account of three Hebrew boys not bowing down to an image that Nebuchadnezzar had made, an image that he wanted his people to worship. He wanted everyone to worship. Remember, when the account is given here, the Bible reminds us that the Babylonians, they had conquered all of the world. And all the different people, and all the different languages, and all the different groups, they were all to bow down. In fact, look at verse 7. It says, "Therefore at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people and the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up." I think we can miss, as we read through chapter 3, some very important points. Remember, my first message that I preached, I reminded you that on the book of Daniel, that in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the Holy Spirit points out to us that Daniel is the prophet. Daniel the prophet. I think we can miss out on some great prophetic truths if we just look at this as a Sunday school story about three Hebrew boys being delivered from the burning fiery furnace. And so I want to suggest to you tonight, and I put a list of some things I want you to see here in this chapter. Prophetic implications of Daniel chapter 3. It really could be easy to miss them if we don't think about them. But I want you to think about this. You know, the book of Daniel reminds us about the whole account or the idea of the times of the Gentiles beginning. And I find it interesting, but the times of the Gentiles begin with an image, and we're not going to turn there tonight because this is just more of a review prophetically, but if we were to go to Revelation chapter 13, we would also see that the time of the Gentiles ends with an image. Let me just read this for you. Revelation 13 says this, "And he had power," that's the beast, "he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." It's interesting that in much the same way here, at the beginning of the time of the Gentiles, that Nebuchadnezzar wanted all the peoples to bow down and to worship him. And if we were to travel through time to the end of the time of the Gentiles, that the same thing, the beast gives life to the image, and if you would not bow down and worship the image, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and anyone else that would not bow down, and if you would not take the mark of the beast, you would give your life. I think that's part of what Daniel is dealing with here. And then we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we see a faithful remnant. These boys wouldn't bow down. And you know, all down through history, there has been men and women that would not bow down to the image of this world, would not bow down to the philosophy of this world, would not bow down to the religions of this world, to the Babylonian religion that has existed since the days of Nimrod. This faithful remnant. And we find, interestingly enough, also in the book of Revelation, it says this, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I think we see in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a faithful remnant. And history bears that out. I think we also see here in Daniel chapter 3 a history of the Jewish people. People who were literally, in less than 100 years ago, literally placed in a fiery furnace, when Hitler and the Nazis did their thing on the Jewish people. But a people who all down through history were persecuted. Look at, if you will, at verse number 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Listen, there has been from the time of the days of Israel to the days in which we live today, those who pointed to the Jewish people and said, it's their fault. They're the problem. They're the ones. Even so much so that today, there is a rise of anti-Semitism in the world today. And I just find it interesting that, again, here in the book of Daniel, where we see the beginning of the days of the times of the Gentiles, and we move down through history, illustrated in what often is just looked at as a Sunday school story about three Hebrew boys that were saved from the fiery furnace. Hebrews reminds us of the history of our brethren. And others had cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And another one of my favorite parts of this verse in all of the Bible, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, because they would not bow down to whatever the image was at that particular time, at that particular moment. See, there's always been images that have been raised up for people have been called to worship. But you and I, living in really relatively peaceful times, unhindered in our worship, owe them a huge debt of gratitude. And to be reminded of them. I think of them at times. People who, for doing what we were stoned. Or faced like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a fiery furnace. I mean, I quoted out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was cut in half. We think of the apostles, and or we think of Jeremiah and his imprisonment, the hunting down of Elijah, and you can just go right down through the Bible. We think of in the book of Esther and Haman and his diabolical plan to eradicate the Jews, and account after account after account after account, and Daniel really in this account here, really giving us a glimpse of the future history of what they were going to experience. And I see in Daniel chapter 3 the nature of the human heart. We see it in Nebuchadnezzar when they wouldn't bow down, and it wasn't just Nebuchadnezzar, all down through history. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. He was in a fury. He was in a rage against them. All down through history, there has been men like Nebuchadnezzar who wanted to be worshipped. Men who, tyrants, tyrannical in their attitudes. Even today we see this. I was watching an interesting documentary a couple of weeks ago on North Korea. And some South Korean journalists were allowed into the country. And they were given quite a bit of liberty to film in the country of South Korea. But one of the things that they were allowed to do is to visit a North Korean family. I think I said South Korea. North Korean family. And they go into their home. And one of the women in the home, she had eye problems. And she was in every North Korean home, by the way, there is a picture of the North Korean dictator. What's his name? I just forgot his name. Un. Every home. And they bow down and they worship him because they believe he's a deity. And she was going to have her going and have her eyes taken care of. And she went to the place where they did the surgery. And so she came out and the surgery was successful. And the first thing that they all did was they went to the picture of the North Korean dictator and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And they were asked by the news reporter, "Do you believe it was because of your leader?" "Oh, yes, it was because of our leader, because he is so great, he is so wonderful." And if you know a little bit about North Korean history, ever since the time of the Japanese, when the Japanese tried to take over the Korean Peninsula and all that took place there, the Koreans they kicked the Christians out, the North Koreans, and they adopted the leader worship, the idea that they were God. So this isn't something that just happened in Nebuchadnezzar's day. All down through history, people have looked for others to worship them. In the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 21 through 22, if you remember this account, this is when Herod, the Bible says, he vexed certain of the church. And the Bible said this, "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of man." And of course, the Bible says that shortly after that, he died. Killed. He wanted to be worshipped as God. All down through, all of the Caesars wanted to be worshipped as God. So what we see here in Daniel chapter 3 in Nebuchadnezzar, and Ethan preached the other night, the other week on the image of whether it was the Babylonian Empire, whether it was the Medes and the Persians, whether it was the Greeks, whether it was the Romans. There was all the idea of emperor worship. Even today, where we see the Babylonian, what we see is Mystery Babylon, even today, when the Pope sits and speaks for God, no different. And I think we see a glimpse of that in Daniel chapter 3, the nature of the human heart. But we also see prophetically the prophetic implications, and again, in a very general way, really in the deliverance of these young men, the coming of the Messiah. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace." Really, in my mind, of persecution all down through the ages. "Then these men were bound in their coat, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down beyond the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking into the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." We see a picture here of the Son of God returning, Not only to call his redeemed out of this world, but to rescue the people, the Jewish people, in the last days. and to bring judgment? Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Wow. We have a God that is able. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angels. And now I finish this message with this practical point here. 3 points on your handout. You see, let me just say this as we finish up. These characteristics. What has been true of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and all those that were delivered by God before them and were delivered after them, and whether they were delivered or, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, if they had died, they still would have been delivered. But what has been true of them is true even today. In verse number 28, who has sent his angel and, number one, delivered his servants. Listen, we heard it this morning, actually, and as Ethan was preaching, we have a God that delivers. We have a God that delivers. He delivers us, but He delivers. When you pray and you ask God for things, He delivers. If you pray with confidence, you have hope in Him. The psalmist said, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I had an incident happen this past week, and it really upset me. Something was said, and it really upset me. And my first response was, I'm going to deal with this because I don't like personally what was said. Well, in some ways, I was like Nebuchadnezzar, a little bit of rage and a little bit of fury. And so I was on my way to take care of it. And the Holy Spirit delivered it. The Holy Spirit said, let it go. And so that stopped my first step. But then the Holy Spirit... Then I took another step, because sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we just keep going. And so I took my second step towards what I was going to do, and the Holy Spirit said, just let it go. And so I literally, God is my witness, turned around and began to walk this way, and then, no, I'm going to go take care of this, and turned around again. And God is my witness, if the Holy Spirit didn't raise His voice and say, just let it go. See, the Lord delivers in all different ways. That could have turned into a fiery furnace. Things in life that we just are waiting on the Lord to deliver. I hope you understand that. That makes sense? You understand what I'm saying? From evil. The Lord delivers. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. But then these boys, just like every other believer down through time, they trusted in Him. It said in verse 28, they delivered His servants, and they trusted in Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my mother's favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. They trusted. They said, listen, back there in verse 17 and 18, or 18 especially, when they said, if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image. We're just not going to do it. And if it means that we're going to lose our lives, we are ready to lose our lives. And it may not be that God says you have to lose your life, but it may be if it means that we have to lose what we really want, we'll just have to put that aside and just do what God wants. Amen? We have to trust in Him. Do I trust in God? Do I exercise my faith? I've told this story probably a dozen times, but I'm preaching tonight. It's one of my favorite missionary stories. It always touches my heart, and maybe because it happened, I believe it happened in North Korea. There was a missionary family in North Korea, and the communists overran that family, and a mom, a dad, and two children, and gathered the villagers together and told the mom and told the dad, listen, you either recant Christ or we will bury your family alive before all of these villagers. I've told this story, I think, over a dozen times. It gets to me every time. And the dad, what would you do as a dad, Dad? Your little boys or little girls are there. What would you do? The dad was about to speak. His wife was next to him. The North Korean believers that were there that day said she took her hand and put it over her husband's mouth. And she said, honey, we'll all dine with Jesus tonight. And they buried that family alive. You see, it all always doesn't end like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that family knew that whatever happened, they would be delivered. That family were just going to trust in God. And you know, there may come a time, even in our lives, with all that's taking place. Listen, our culture is becoming increasingly hostile to the Christian faith. It may be, if you're my age, it may be that you're gone by then. You're with the Lord. But I look at these young children, and when they're my age, Nehemiah, when you turn 110 like Grandpa, who knows what it'll be like? How old are you, Nehemiah? You're 6. So that's in 54. No, it's not 54. I'll be 62, right? 56. I was going to say 56, thank you. That's in 56 years. Well, you just think what has taken place in the last 56 years in our country and where we are today. If you had told me when I was Gideon's age that which was going on around us today was going to take place, I would say, you are out of your mind. You must be coming from another planet. But all down through the ages, God has delivered. All down through the ages, men and women, boys and girls have trusted. And thirdly, it said here that they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. I say that chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yes, obviously this happened to them, but it is really representative of that which would take place all down through the history of not only the Jewish people, but the church itself. And the coming tribulation. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 and 16. And I'm sorry, I left a few words off of your handout. I checked because on my own notes I left them out. But let me read this here. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, and the part that I left out was of obedience unto righteousness. We just need to yield ourselves unto the Lord. And they did. They did. And they were willing to deal with the consequences, just like historically men and women have been willing to deal with the consequences because they love the Lord. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree. No, let me finish. That they might not serve. Let me read all of verse 28 again. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Listen, because they believed in being delivered and they trusted and they yielded their bodies, the Bible says that the king himself was moved. The king himself, his heart was changed. Therefore the king said, I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. What a testimony. And here I tell this story I've told many, many times about this missionary family. What a testimony. I don't even know their names. I remember hearing the story probably 30 years ago. Then the king, as we finish here, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All through, isn't that true too about down through history? Every time, especially with regards to Christianity, every time Christianity has tried to been stamped out, it grows. Persecution grows the church. Persecution strengthens the church. By the way, persecution or affliction or trouble in your own life, if it draws you to the Lord, it will mature you. It will help you to grow. It will strengthen your faith because you'll see that you have a God who delivered because you trusted in Him and you yielded unto Him. And it says that they were promoted. No one is ever demoted by following the Lord, at least not in the Lord's eyes. The world may demote you. Listen, there's been people who have lost their jobs. You read in 1 Thessalonians, for instance, history tells us that many of the Thessalonians, they lost their jobs because the labor unions in Thessalonica were also linked to the idols. And not you had to claim an allegiance to the false gods to work for the labor unions. And if not, you're out of work. Go find some other way to feed your family. So yeah, they were demoted there in the eyes of the labor unions, but they were promoted in the eyes of God. And so we learn in this story, it's just not about three Hebrew boys and a golden image that was set up. It's really an account of all down through history what would take place and is still taking place today until the Lord returns. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the lessons that we can learn from it and the applications that we can apply to our own lives. We should be thankful beyond measure for the relative ease in which we live today and can enjoy our faith. And really, in our country, face very, very little opposition, comparatively speaking to what so many of our forefathers experienced. And so first and foremost, Lord, help us to always believe that you're a God that delivers, to live a life that we just trust in you. And each day we wake up with a desire to be yielded to your will for our lives and not for the things of this world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.